says that the Exodus took place about 480 years before Solomon's temple was built. And in Exodus 12, we are told that the Israelites stay in Egypt for about 430 years. These are topics that we'll talk about in upcoming lectures, but here I want to say that if you add the years together, this means that Abraham and Isaac and Jacob would have been roaming around the ancient Near East sometime during the 19th century BCE, that is, the beginning of the second millennium. Because Solomon's temple is built about the year 960, if you then add 480 years to get to the Exodus, and then add another 430 years as the length of time the Israelites stayed in Egypt, you get the number of 1870 BCE, that is, the 19th century BCE. This is exactly during the time when the Amorites are moving around the ancient Near East. It also would allow us to place the Hebrews in Egypt during the so-called Hyksos period, as I've mentioned already. And this is a period when Egypt was ruled by foreigners, and it would be a good time when Jacob could be there. But again, we'll get to this in future lectures. What I'm interested in here right now is that the stories of Abraham's migration from Mesopotamia to Canaan, and then of the later migration of Jacob and his sons into Egypt, make sense when you view them against the political conditions of the early second millennium BCE and the geographical migrations that are taking place at that time. Moreover, the names of the patriarchs and some of the customs that are reflected in the Hebrew Bible are quite similar to those that are mentioned in second millennium Mesopotamian texts, such as writings from the cities of Mari and Nuzi from the 18th century and down for the next couple of hundred years. We have similar names, Jacob, Isaac, and related ones. Now, there are a number of problems, though, with this so-called Amorite hypothesis. For one, the idea that the disruption of urban life in Canaan at the end of the early Bronze Age and the beginning of the Middle Bronze Age, that is, the early years of the second millennium BCE, the idea that this was the result of widespread Amorite movements, that is itself just a hypothesis, and it's by no means universally accepted by all archaeologists and historians. So to say that Abraham is part of this Amorite movement is to stack one hypothesis upon another. And moreover, while the Amorite hypothesis does work quite well with the chronology in the Hebrew Bible, as I've just mentioned, it creates problems for the associated genealogical data. For example, in Genesis 15, it assumes a four-generation stay in Egypt, and Moses, for example, is identified as a fourth-generation descendant of Jacob. We go from Jacob to Levi, to Amram, to Moses. Now, if you're going to make the genealogical data fit with the chronological data, each generation has to last an average of 100 years. Usually we say a generation just lasts 30 years, so you've got these people living an awful long time if you're going to square the genealogy with the chronology. But that's just one possible problem. A second argument against the Amorite hypothesis would argue that the parallels between biblical names and customs on the one hand and those that are known from Mesopotamian text on the other hand